ice formed on the inner castle walls, and the cobblestones became treacherous underfoot. A dozen wrought iron braziers burned fiercely in the courtyard, but did little to dispel the bitter cold that hung about the castle like a numbing shroud. The wounded had all been taken inside the castle, where some warmth was still to be found, and the dragon sat alone in the middle of the courtyard, eating his way steadily through a large pile of assorted viands. A few guards and men-at-arms were busy strengthening the barricades at the main gates, looking like slow, clumsy bears in their huge fur cloaks and gloves. Outside the castle walls, the endless night was still and silent. Rupert and Julia stood at the bottom of the main entrance steps, wrapped in thick fur cloaks. King John appeared suddenly from the main entrance, the astrologer behind him.
I like the eye patch. Very piratical.
Now don't you start. So help me, if one more god asks me to sing him a sea shanty, I'll flatten him.
Never mind, Rupert. When all this is over, I'll buy you a nice glass eye.
I can hardly wait.
So, how long before the dragon will be ready to fly?
Oh, it shouldn't be long now. We've just about run out of meat.
The demon prince. What does he look like?
Nobody knows. No one's ever met him and lived to tell of it.
Great. Just great. How are we supposed to find him if we don't even know what he looks like?
Thomas Gray will lead you to him.
Wait, you? How?
We'll get to that, I'm afraid.
But first, how many people can the dragon carry altogether?
Four at most. So far, there's us and the High Warlock.
Nope, I won't be going.
Rupert turned to see that the warlock had come over from where he'd been talking with the dragon. The man's hair was now almost entirely white.
Wait, what do you mean, no? We need you.
I'm sorry, Julia. But waking the dragon took practically everything I had. With so much wild magic loose in the world, it's all I can do to control what little magic I have left. Take the astrologer instead. He still has some magic. I'll stay here and give the castle what protection I can. My power will return in time. If the demons would just hold off for 24 hours, I could still give them a run for their money.
The astrologer? You've got to be joking. We need a real sorcerer.
Julia, he's right in front of you.
I don't care. Look, the castle can't stand against the demons, no matter what you do. But Warlock, you're the only one of us who stands any chance against the Demon Prince.
No, Julia. There's nothing more I can do for you.
Thomas Gray is a fine sorcerer, and he has a way to lead us directly to the Demon Prince.
Us? What do you mean, us?
I mean I'm going with you.
You can't. You're needed here.
We all know the castle will fall anyway if the Demon Prince isn't stopped. I have to go with you, Rupert, because without me, you don't have a hope in hell of destroying the Demon Prince.
Why? Because you're carrying Rockbreaker.
Partly. But there is another reason.
Let me tell them, John.
Tell us what?
Thomas and I have discussed this, and we feel it's best that you know the truth. All of it.
John and I have to go with you. We were there at the beginning of this evil. We have no choice but to be there at its ending.
I don't understand.
It's all our fault. All the deaths, all the destruction, all our fault.
How? How is it your fault?
We were the ones who first summoned the Demon Prince back to the world of men.
For a long time, nobody said anything. The astrologer looked almost pathetically defiant, his eyes darting from face to face like a cornered animal's. The king looked tired and defeated, but still his dignity hung about him in scraps and tatters, and he didn't flinch from Rupert's horrified gaze.
Why?
The barons were out of control. They were ruining the kingdom with their endless intrigues and jealousies. They had to be brought back into line. It seemed to us that a single big enough threat might be sufficient to unite the barons in a common cause and bring them back under the central authority of the crown.
That was the plan. We thought that if it didn't work out, all we had to do was reverse the spell, and we could send the Demon Prince back to the darkness from which he came.
You fools. You bloody fools!
Yes. Old, frightened fools. But we were younger then, and we thought we knew what we were doing. It all went wrong right from the start. We drew the pentacle, and Thomas set the wards. I lit the candles at the stars' points, and he set the holy water at the veils. I can remember it all so clearly. Even after so many years, we said the words and summoned him by name. and then the darkness fell on us like a ravening animal. I couldn't see, couldn't breathe, but I could feel something moving close at hand. Something awful. And then I heard Thomas screaming and I tried to get to him, but I couldn't find him in the darkness. Finally, I passed out, and when I awoke, the darkness was gone, and poor Thomas lay unconscious at my side. The years passed, and there was no sign of the Demon Prince. We thought we got away with it, and that he had simply returned to the darkness from which we'd summoned him. And then, just recently, demons appeared in the Tanglewood, and the Dark Wood's boundaries began to spread.
Wait a minute. When exactly did you summon the Demon Prince?
32 years ago.
But that was when...
Yes, Rupert. That was when we lost the South Wing.
I was away from court that summer. I always wondered why you were so evasive about what you'd been up to in that South Tower. Why didn't you talk to me first? I could have warned you.
You would have talked me out of it. And I didn't want to be talked out of it.
Of course you didn't. All right. Where did you and the astrologer get the kind of power you'd need for that kind of summoning?
We used the katana. I teleported John and myself into the armory, John took the sword, and I teleported us out again. Nobody ever knew we were there.
I didn't know you could teleport.
There are lots of things you don't know about me.
So you took the katana? No wonder the Seneschal couldn't find it. You sent us on a wild goose chase.
No, that was the problem. Thomas and I returned the sword to the armory before we left the South Wing 32 years ago. It should still have been there.
Wait, then who's got the sword now?
Once I'd broken the protective wards, anyone could have taken the sword. Darius must have been in and out of the South Wing all the time using those damn tunnels of his. He probably took the katana as insurance in case his schemes came unstuck and then forgot where he hid it in his madness. And now that Darius is dead, the odds are we'll never find the katana. It could be anywhere in those tunnels, anywhere at all.
Perhaps it's just as well. The katana never brought anyone anything but grief.
Though we seem to have strayed from the subject. The point is that John and I have to go with you. Since we summoned the Dark Prince in the first place, he can't be banished or destroyed without our cooperation.
Is that right, Sir Warlock?
I'm afraid so, Rupert. That's what the legends say.
Oh, legends. It always comes back to bloody legends.
I have a right to face the Demon Prince again. Despite all I may have done, I am still King of the Forest Land, and I will have a reckoning for what has been done to the land.
John, if you go into the Darkwood, the chances are you won't be coming back again.
I know that. But we all aspire to moments of nobility. It's the best any of us can hope for.
Then let's go. The longer we stand here talking, the likelier it is the demons will come scrambling over our walls. Dragon, are you nearly ready?
Of course, Rupert. Climb aboard, and we can be on our way.
Rupert and Julia headed for the dragon, followed by the astrologer. The king stopped short as Harold appeared from the main entrance. He waited patiently for his eldest son to come down and join him, and they stood together a moment, neither quite sure what to say.
If we don't come back... You will be king, Harold. Keep the land alive any way you have to. The night can't last forever. If the demons come over the walls or through the gates, fall back into the inner castle and block off the entrance halls. Keep pulling back. Make them fight for every room, every gallery. This castle was built to withstand any siege. There are enough secret passageways in this place to keep the demons running around in circles for years. Keep your wits about you. And you might just make it. Don't fail the land, Harold. Don't fail the land.
I won't, Father. You better go now. The others are waiting. Good luck.
Rupert and Julia watched from the dragon's back as Harold and the king embraced each other. Julia shot a glance at the astrologer, waiting patiently beside the dragon, and then put her arms around Rupert's waist and leaned forward so that her mouth was by his ear.
Do you think we should say something? If Harold is the traitor...
What could we say? We've no proof against him. You heard the king. With the wards broken, anyone could have taken the katana.
But leaving him in charge of the castle?
There's nothing we can do, Julia. For now.
They fell silent as the king hurried over to the dragon. The two men climbed awkwardly up on the dragon's back. Everyone settled themselves more or less comfortably, and the dragon stretched out his wings and flexed them experimentally.
Oh,
I'm stiff. Very stiff.
Are you sure you're up to this, Dragon? There are four of us, and it could be a long flight.
Of course I'm up to it. You just hang on tight, and I'll get you there. I just hope someone knows where we're going. Oh, and Rupert?
Yes?
Next time, try to wake me before things get this desperate.
The courtyard fell slowly away beneath him, just as the demons finally came swarming over the castle walls.
Julia, look!
They all watched in horror as the demons quickly fought their way past the defenders on the battlements and spilled down into the courtyard. The High Warlock stood alone, balefire blazing from his hands as the demons came at him from every side. The main gates burst open, the thick oaken doors splintering like kindling, and the courtyard was suddenly full of leaping, clawing demons. And then the castle fell away behind the dragon and was lost in the darkness. Below him lay nothing but the dark wood, gleaming eerily under the light of the full blue moon.
It's all over. The demons have won.
We've got to turn back, dragon!
No! We go on! There's nothing else we can do!
The dragon flew on into the darkness, and for a long time nobody said anything. Bitterly cold air rushed past them, cutting fiercely at their bare hands and faces. The night sky was empty of stars, but the blue moon filled the darkness with an ancient power. The wild magic roared upon the night like a giant heartbeat, strange and whimsical and utterly inhuman. Far below him, Rupert could sense things waking and moving that had no place in the time of man. The world itself seemed to be changing subtly as the dragon carried his passengers deeper into the night. More and more, Rupert had the feeling that it was they who were out of place, that the world had moved on, and he and his kind no longer belonged. The power of the full blue moon to reshape reality itself. Rupert shook his head quickly. So far, nothing had been done to the land itself that could not be undone by the demon prince's death. At least that was what he had been told. Rupert frowned. He was no longer sure he believed much of what he was told.
How are you managing, dragon?
I feel fine. I feel young again. My bones no longer ache, my wind is sound, and I can see forever. I'd forgotten how good it felt to be young. It's the wild magic, Rupert. I can feel it singing in my blood. The wild magic loose in the world again. Just as it was in my younger days, the days before the coming of man.
Was that a better time for you?
Better? It was different.
The dark wood stretched away beneath them, an endless tangled mass of interlocking branches. Gnarled and twisted boughs curled together in an intricate embrace of rotting wood. Savage thorns thrust up through the dark wood roof, some dappled with recent bloodstains. Shimmering blue moonlight glistened on the decaying branches. The sweet stench of corruption was everywhere.
This may be a stupid question, but how are we supposed to find the Demon Prince through all that? It'll take us hours to cut our way through, with no guarantee we're even in the right place.
I'll find the Demon Prince. My magic will lead us right to him.
And what are we going to do when we find him?
Destroy him! The land cries out for vengeance!
Sure, destroy him. Just like that. You haven't the faintest idea of how to go about it, have you?
We'll do what we can. We'll try cold steel first. If that doesn't work, we'll try magic. If that doesn't work, the dragon can breathe fire on him.
And if that doesn't work?
Then we're in big trouble.
Great. Just great.
The endless canopy of interwoven branches flowed steadily away beneath them like a solid, unmoving ocean. The oppressive horror of the long night was a little easier to bear above the dark wood itself, but still the darkness pressed in around the dragon.
Down there, to our left, there's a kind of clearing covered over. That's where we'll find the Demon Prince.
Are you sure?
Oh yes, John. I'm sure.
The dragon looked quickly back to see where the astrologer was pointing, and then turned and glided down toward the roof of the dark wood. The huge thorns rose up to meet him.
Dragon?
Dragon?
Dragon!
You're burning through the forest!
It won't last long, though. The dark wood doesn't take to being destroyed. We'd best land while we can.
Oh, there we go. Everybody off.
See? The dark wood will soon regrow here.
Yes. It's a little dark. Did anyone think to bring a lantern?
Grab that fallen branch there.
This one?
Yes.
A brief gush of fire fell from his mouth. It caught hold on the branch Julia was holding, and the clearing was filled with a flickering light.
Oh, that's good. Keep on the watch.
The clearing wasn't very large, no more than 40 feet in diameter, with half a dozen pathways leading off. In the exact center of the clearing stood a single rotting tree stump, roughly fashioned into the shape of a throne. Fresh bloodstains spotted the decaying wood. Rupert glanced up at a break in the canopy overhead, but there was no trace of the blue moon or its light, only a darkness that went on forever. Julia came over to stand beside Rupert, her sword in her hand. They shared a quick smile, and then Julia went back to searching the surrounding darkness for signs of movement. The king and the astrologer stood together beside the rotting throne.
Is the torch wise? Surely the light will tell the demons we're here.
They'll know we're here soon enough, John.
Ugh, this place is disgusting. There's blood on the ground and bones by the throne. And I'm not quite sure, but these bones might be human.
All right, Sir Astrologer, you led us here. Where's the demon prince?
You want him? Then I'll call him. Master! They're here! I've brought them to you!
You! I'll kill you!
A massive weight slammed all three of them to the floor and pinned them there. Rupert's sword was gone from his hand, and he couldn't even turn his head to see where it had fallen. He could just make out the king lying helpless on the ground nearby, while beyond him the dragon lay writhing at the edge of the clearing, unable to rise. Inch by inch, Rupert raised his head to look at the astrologer. Thomas Gray was lounging at his ease on the rotting throne, and in his hands was a glowing sword with a dull black jewel set in its crosspiece.
What's happening? I can't move!
It's his sword! It's the katana! He must have had it all along!
Of course! I had to be sure you were in a fit state to greet my master.
Welcome. Welcome, my dear friends. I've been waiting for you.
Rupert fought to keep his head up as he watched a tall, spindly figure slowly form itself out of the darkness at the edge of the clearing. It gradually took on depth and weight and reality, like a nightmare creating itself in flesh and bone. The demon prince stood fully 8 feet tall, his body emaciated to the point of starvation. His lambent, dead white skin was wrapped in black rags and tatters, and two crimson eyes burned unblinkingly from under the wide brim of his large, battered hat. What little could be seen of the demon prince's face gave the impression of being blurred and unfinished. He smiled slowly at his enemies lying helpless on the clearing floor, his wide slash of a mouth full of pointed teeth.
Is this Rockbreaker? I think it is. Ah, yes. An interesting toy. There was a time when it might even have been of some use against me. But now...
He lifted the sword up over his knee.
Now, come to me, my slave.
Yes, my lord.
Give me the katana.
Here you are, master.
The Dark Prince hefted the katana in his hand. Within the space of a few seconds, nothing remained of the Sword of Compulsion but a pool of molten metal steaming on the ground, with a few dull jewels floating in it. Rupert quickly tested the compulsion that held him. It seemed a little weaker, but its hold still lingered on under the influence of the wild magic.
You have done well, my slave. All my enemies are now gathered in one place, and the only remaining swords that might have harmed me are now destroyed. Pretty little thing.
Rupert forced his head to turn and saw Julia reaching out her hand to retrieve her sword. The demon prince was walking leisurely toward her.
Oh, your hand is broken, and you don't want to give me the pleasure of hearing you crying out. Perhaps I'll hear you yet. but I'll break you just like all the others.
The demon prince walked back to the astrologer. Even in the dim light, Rupert could see that Julia's hand was now a mess of blood and splintered bones. She tried to lift her sword anyway, but couldn't even get a grip. The demon prince didn't even look around. He seated himself elegantly on his throne of decaying wood, with the astrologer at his right hand, and looked coldly upon his fallen enemies.
Well, have you nothing to say to me? After all, you've waited so long to meet me. What about you, dragon? We're two of a kind, you and I. We can still remember when the world was young and we were powers on the earth. Things have changed since then, since man came into the world. You've grown old, dragon, old and weak. Magic was going out of the world, and you were going with it. But now, the blue moon is full, and the wild magic has returned. Forget the humans. Serve me, and watch dragonkind grow strong again.
The dragon slowly lifted his great head, fighting grimly against the geas that held him prisoner.
Answer me.
You can rot here in your dark wood. Julia and Rupert are my friends, and I'll not betray them to a prince of decaying trees.
Fire roared from his mouth, only to fall harmlessly to the ground, unable to reach the demon prince. The flames sputtered on the oily moss and went out.
Foolish animal. Go to sleep.
Rupert slowly pulled one leg up under him, fighting the geas every inch of the way. He could see his sword lying on the ground between him and the king, but it was well out of reach. One good jump would be enough to get him to it, but as yet the compulsion was still too strong. Rupert slowly brought his other leg into position and waited with a cold and patient fury for the geas to die away.
You planned this all along! Thomas! You poisoned your fellow sorcerers!
Oh, yes. And it was worth it.
Why? Why turn against the forest? Against me?
Answer him, slave. His despair amuses me.
You, John. You and your damned throne. 30 years and more I spent propping you up, making your decisions for you. But what did I ever get out of it, All those years living in your shadow, doing your dirty work, while you had all the wealth and all the power. I could have been somebody in my own right, John. Maybe even a sorcerer supreme. But I gave that up to go with you because you needed me. I would have made a far better king than you. Lots of people said so, but no. I stayed loyal. You were my friend. And then, years later, I finally realized I had no more power or station or wealth of my own than the day I first followed you to court to be your astrologer.
Thomas, we've been friends since we were children together.
Children grow up, John.
You really hate me so much.
More than you can imagine, John. I've looked forward to this moment for years. A great many years.
You were the one who first suggested we call the Demon Prince.
Of course. With his power, I could have made myself king.
He broke off as the Demon Prince laid a hand on his shoulder and squeezed gently. Blood ran down the astrologer's arm as the long claws sank deep into his flesh. But he didn't flinch or cry out.
Such a foolish mortal to think of controlling me. You were mine, body and soul, from the moment you decided to summon me out of the darkness. From that moment on, you became my agent, my slave, my...
Traitor!
I have always been well served by traitors.
John bowed his head and looked away. In the space of a single day, he had lost his kingdom, his castle, and his oldest friend. It didn't seem possible that a man could hurt so much and still go on living. Rupert cautiously raised himself up on his elbows. The geas was almost gone, but the sword was too far away. The demon prince would stop him before he could get anywhere near it. The king, on the other hand, was almost on top of the sword. Rupert frowned. In order to stand any chance at all, the king was going to need a diversion to distract the demon prince and the astrologer. Rupert smiled sourly as the answer came to him. He might not be able to reach the sword, but he could certainly reach the demon prince. He quickly caught his father's eye and jerked his head slightly at the sword lying near them. Now, if the demon prince would just move a few steps closer...
Well, John, nothing more to say to me? No last-minute appeals to my better nature or the friendship we once shared? I'm going to be king. At long last, I'm going to be king. My master promised me your throne for my part in this. Don't worry, John. I'll put the kingdom back together and run it as it should be run. And with the demons to back me up, there's not a baron in the land will dare stand against me.
You're crazy. King? King of what? There's nothing but the Darkwood now.
Things won't always be like this. I shall rule the forest land. This was promised to me.
Such a petty ambition. I offered you all the kingdoms of the world.
The forest land is all I want. It's all I've ever wanted. And now I shall be king at last.
I think not.
What?
I have no use for kings, only slaves. Now, come here, slave.
I'm to be king. King of the forest land, you promised me.
I lied.
The knight closed around the astrologer like a living cloak. Within his body, he felt his bones and muscles moving, changing, twisting. King John watched, horrified, as the thing that had once been his friend rose slowly to its feet as a demon. A low-browed head squatted on broad, muscular shoulders, and its overlong arms fell down past its knees. Thick, oily hair showed clearly through great rents in the sorcerer's torn robes. A simple, crafty intelligence showed in the glowing blood-red eyes, but there was no trace of recognition in them when the demon glanced at the king.
Well, how do you like your friend now?
Rupert braced himself. This was going to hurt. Rupert caught the demon prince in a bear hug and hung on grimly, his head pressed against the creature's bony chest.
Father! Get the sword! Get the bloody sword!
The demon prince's head snapped forward, the long, spindly neck stretching impossibly. Rupert had a brief glimpse of vicious teeth reaching for his throat. Rupert only felt something hard as the demon prince's foot shot up and slammed him in his side. A now familiar pain in his side told him his recently healed ribs had broken again. He slowly pushed himself up to one elbow, just in time to see Julia try again to reach her sword.
So spirited, you too.
Julia!
I said I'd break you, and I meant it.
The demon prince straddled Julia and grabbed her ruined hand. He frowned as he saw she wasn't going to cry. He wrapped her arm behind her back and pushed it up towards her head.
Do you feel the wild magic beating on the air? Do you feel it snuffing out what's left of humanity? I could use it right now. And do so many wonderful, horrible things to you. But you know something? There's nothing quite like using one's hands.
Julia!
Now, that is something I never tire of.
The demon prince stood and moved slowly toward the king. He hadn't moved at all, and the sword still lay where Rupert had dropped it.
Father!
Oh. Oh, I don't think he hears you, boy. He's broken now. Just another of my slaves. Aren't you, John?
He reached down, and taking the king by the throat, lifted him easily off the ground. The demon prince held him out at arm's length and shook him playfully, grinning broadly as he watched the king's feet kicking a yard and more above the ground.
You shall be the lowliest of all my slaves, little coward. What's that? I couldn't hear you.
The demon prince brought the king's face close to his own. One of the demon prince's hands closed tight about the king's throat. His other hand went for his chest. Claws sank deep into the king, searching for his heart.
No! Rupert!
Rupert saw Julia lunge forward, despite her shattered hand and shoulder. She snatched up Rupert's sword from the clearing floor with her left hand.
Catch!
Oh. You don't lie, do you?
Rupert stood his ground, hefting his sword in his hand. He could see Julia and his father both struggling, their blood dripping onto the filthy moss. Even the dragon was stirring uneasily in his sleep. Rupert swallowed dryly. He knew cold steel wasn't going to be enough to stop the Dark Prince, but he had to try. His friends needed him.
Demon Prince, you will not harm anyone anymore. Not as long as I can still stand.
Well, I'm sure I can do something about that.
Rupert lifted his sword above his head for one last, desperate attack. All his rage and hope and need surged up into the sword and out into the long night and beyond. And the rainbow slammed down into the dark wood. Brilliant colors threw back the darkness, thundering endlessly against the long night. Rupert turned his face up into the cascading light, and tears poured down his face as strength flooded back into it. Vivid shades and colors burned through the night, driving back the dark wood. Rupert looked around him for the demon prince. He could just make out a tall, spindly shadow struggling weakly among the colors, like an insect trapped in hardening amber. And then, even as he watched, the shadow melted away into nothing. The rainbow blazed bright and glorious against the night. And then was gone.
Julia! Julia, where are you, Julia?
I'm here, Rupert.
Julia, look up. Look at the moon.
It's silver. It's back to normal. Rupert, the blue moon is gone. The long night is over.
Rupert sheathed the rainbow sword and looked about him. The mosses and fungi that had covered the clearing floor were gone, replaced by a thick carpet of grass that glowed softly with its own inner light. The demon prince was gone, and with him the creature that had once been the astrologer. The dragon was sitting up on his haunches, shaking the last drowsiness out of his head. His emerald scales shimmered brightly where the rainbow had touched them. Julia was standing beside the dragon, happily flexing her newly healed hand, and staring about her in open wonder. The illumination of the horizon by the rising sun was like a benediction. And King John sat beside the decaying throne, with his head in his hands, and wept for the loss of his friend. Out in the forest, birds were singing. Leaves had begun to appear on some of the trees around the clearing, and the air was full of clean, familiar forest smells. Sunlight poured down through the slowly widening break in the canopy overhead, and the early morning sky was so brilliant a blue it almost hurt Rupert's eyes to look at it. High above the forest, the dragon soared effortlessly on the gentle morning winds, his scales shimmering brightly in the golden sunlight. Rupert could feel the winter cold finally leaving his bones, and the sun was warm on his face. And yet for every tree that stood wreathed in green or bronze, another stood stark and dead, its wood eaten away from within. For some, for all too many, the rainbow had come too late.
Half the forest is still dead. I thought that once the demon prince was gone, everything would just return to normal.
Not even the rainbow can bring back the dead. And some of these trees have stood in darkness for a very long time. The dark wood may be gone, but it'll take the forest centuries to recover from the damage done to it. No, lass, we're rid of the demon prince, but we still have to deal with the legacy he left us.
But at least... What's this?
What's what?
Something on the ground.
What is it?
I'm not sure. Looks like a piece of bone or horn or something.
A horn? Let me see that.
Rupert studied the piece of horn in his hand. It was almost 2 feet long and thickly curlicued, the creamy white ivory cracked and discolored.
I thought so.
What is it?
It's the unicorn's horn. He lost it to a demon in the Darkwood, remember? The demon prince used it to spread his plague.
Is it still dangerous? Maybe we ought to destroy it.
The High Warlock will know what to do with it. I'll give it to him when we get back to the castle. Maybe he can find some way to fix it back onto the unicorn.
Rupert, we can't be sure that either of them survived that last attack from the demons.
Damn. Oh, damn. I'm sorry, Julia. I didn't think... It just doesn't seem possible that so many people could have died in so short a time.
Julia put an arm around Rupert's shoulders, and he hugged her to him. They stood together a while, staring about them, enjoying the sunshine and breathing in great lungfuls of fresh, untainted air, losing themselves in the morning so they could forget the horrors of the night.
It's hard to believe it's finally over.
It isn't over.
Rupert and Julia looked quickly at King John, sitting alone at the edge of the clearing and staring at the ground with empty eyes.
The Demon Prince isn't dead. All the rainbow did was drive him back to whatever dark hell he came from. Since the astrologer and I were responsible for summoning him out of the darkness, only we can truly banish him. One day the Demon Prince will return. Even if it takes him hundreds of years, he'll be back.
Well, even if you're right, Father, if it's going to take him hundreds of years to return, I don't see how it's any problem of ours. As long as we can take care not to lose the Rainbow Sword.
Right! We've saved the forest, and that's what matters. Rupert?
Yes?
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
Why did you tell me earlier that the Rainbow Sword didn't work anymore?
Just before I began the Rainbow Run, the dragon told me that if I reached Rainbow's End, I'd find my heart's desire, but that it might not be what I thought it was. When I made the Rainbow Run, all I wanted was something that would help me save you and my friends from the darkness. And that's what I was given. When I tried to use the sword again down in the Coppertown Pit, I was just trying to save myself, so it didn't work. This time, I didn't care about myself anymore. I just wanted to save you and the others from the Demon Prince. So the sword worked again. Simple, really, when you think about it.
If it's that simple, why didn't you think of it sooner?
I've had a lot on my mind recently.
Ah, I thought I'd find you all here.
Sir Warlock, you're all right.
Why, you're looking,
You can say it. Old, and getting older by the hour. This is what being sober and respectable does for you.
So what happened to the castle after we left? Last we saw, the courtyard was swarming with demons.
Oh, they didn't stay long enough to do any real damage. We all retreated inside the main castle and manned the barricades. And then the next thing we knew, the demons were attacking each other. Without the Demon Prince to hold the horde together, it didn't take long for the demons to revert to type, as mindless animals. Most of them died at each other's hands, and the guards drove out the rest without too much trouble. I doubt the survivors will last long in the forest, now there's no darkness to hide in. Tell me, how did you kill the Demon Prince?
With this sword. I found it at Rainbow's End. It calls down the rainbow.
Why didn't you tell me you had the Rainbow Sword?
Oh, we're not actually sure the Demon Prince is dead. King John says all we did was banish him.
Yes, well, with a creature like the Demon Prince, it's hard to be sure of anything. Since it was never born, it can't really die. I'd better look into the matter some more.
Well, I'm glad to see your powers have returned to you, Sir Warlock.
Yes, it was rather a good teleport, wasn't it? Now that the wild magic is gone, the remains of my magic are back under control again. Judging by the way you two are standing together, I take it Harold's wedding is off, Rupert?
Definitely. Julia and I are...
So I see. I hope you'll be very happy together.
Wait a minute. Don't I get a say in this?
No.
But...
The High Warlock waited a moment until it became clear that Rupert and Julia were no longer interested in anyone but each other, and then he moved away to stand with King John and stare out into the forest.
John.
I know. You're leaving again, aren't you?
Yes. I'll teleport you back to the castle, and then I'm off. Magic is going out of the world, and my years are catching up with me.
Feeling sorry for yourself again?
Just a bit. I shouldn't complain, really. At least this way, I can say I ended my life with one last great adventure.
One last adventure? Yes. That's a good way to end a life. I'm not going back to the castle either. You know, Thomas Gray is dead.
Yes, I know.
He turned against me and betrayed the land, and at the end, he said it was all because of me. More and more, I think perhaps he was right. Trusting Thomas too much was just one of the many mistakes I made. So I'm not going back to the castle. I never wanted to be king anyway. All the work, the problems, the endless responsibility. I did my best, but somehow that was never enough. And now, more than ever, the forest land is going to need a strong king. There's a lot to be done, overseeing relief work for the towns and villages, saving what we can from the ruined harvest, re-establishing royal control over the barons, generally pulling the land back together again, and I'm just not up to it. Let somebody else try. Rupert or Harold. Either of them would do a good job. All I want to do now is be alone. Maybe here in the forest I can find some peace, some absolution, some way to live with my memories of what I've done and didn't do.
John.
Goodbye, Warlock. I won't say goodbye to Rupert and Julia. If I did, I might not be able to go. You'll have to find a way to do it for me. I won't be seeing them again.
He smiled briefly as he stood, and then walked away into the forest. The warlock watched quietly as he disappeared into the dark green shadows between the trees. Rupert and Julia suddenly noticed that the king was gone and hurried over to the warlock.
Where's my father?
The high warlock turned and bowed formally to him.
Your father is dead, Rupert. The king is dead. Long live King Rupert of the Forest Kingdom.
It was 3 in the morning, and the castle was fast asleep. Stars shone brightly in the night sky, and the full moon lit the courtyard bright as day. A few weary guardsmen patrolled the battlements and manned the gatehouse, but only shadows moved in the empty courtyard. Rupert crept stealthily down the main entrance steps, and then ran silently through the moonlight to hide in the shadows of the inner west wall. He pressed close against the stonework and waited patiently while his single eye adjusted to the sudden change in light. The guards moved slowly from post to post, occasionally staring out at the forest. None of them so much as glanced at the courtyard. Rupert made sure the heavy pack was balanced and moved quickly along the inner wall, keeping to the shadows until he finally reached the old stable.
Come on, come on!
Julia unhooded her lantern, and a smoky yellow light filled the stable. 2 saddled horses waited patiently in their stalls, while the unicorn glared nervously about him in the aisle. Rupert glanced quickly at the shutters to make sure they were secure, and then leaned back against the closed stable door and relaxed a little.
You're late! Where have you been?
I had a few things to attend to.
Such as?
I left the rainbow sword in the armory, just in case Father was right, and the demon prince does come back someday.
Yes. Well, the sword's probably more use to them than it would be to us. Did you get yourself another sword?
Of course.
And did you check the guards on the gate?
Yes, Julia. They're all loyal to me. And yes, the dragon is waiting for us in the forest. Now calm down, will you? Nothing's going to go wrong. Are you nearly ready?
Just about. Have you decided where we're going yet?
Not really. The important thing is to get out of this madhouse. The king hasn't been dead 24 hours and already the vultures are gathering. There are more factions in the court now than you can shake a stick at. The sooner I get out of here, the better.
There's always a chance they'll come after us.
I doubt it. With me out of the way, Harold will have a clear field. If I didn't leave, he'd probably have me exiled or killed.
Hey, if we don't get a move on, somebody's going to find us here, and Harold will probably have you both hanged as horse thieves.
Harold won't begrudge us 2 horses. Well, he will, but he won't do anything about it.
What do you want 2 horses for, I'm asking you? The warlock fixed me up fine before he left. There's no reason why I can't carry you.
Actually, there is a reason.
Oh, yes? What might that be?
I can't ride a unicorn.
Not anymore. I'm no longer qualified.
Ooh.
You see, Julia and I...
Spent the night celebrating, did we?
We still want you to come with us. I promised to help you track down your old herd, remember?
I remember. But after we've done that, where were you thinking of going?
I don't know. Why?
Well, if you think I'm going to let you go just wandering off on your own, you're daft. You wouldn't last
five minutes without you.
Either of you. And you know it.
You're probably right.
The unicorn raised his head proudly. The lamplight shone golden on his horn.
Hey, Rupert, what's in the backpack?
Another reason why I was a bit late.
Rupert, there must be almost 1,000 jewels in here. Where the hell did you get these? They must be worth a fortune.
It's part of the treasure trove you and the Seneschal found in the old treasury. What with all the excitement, they never got around to locking it away securely. They just dumped it in a storage room, padlocked the door, and put up a simple warding spell linked to the royal family. And since we are rather short of guards at the moment, they left it at that. So I chose my moment carefully, broke open the padlock, and helped myself. By the time Harold figures out what's happened, we shall be long gone. Now that my father is gone, I think I'm entitled to an inheritance. And this is it.
We don't know for sure he's dead, Rupert. They haven't found his body yet, and the warlocks disappeared.
I can't really believe he's gone. As long as I can remember, my father's always been there, a part of my life, like food or sleep. We were never close, but then we never wanted to be before. And now, just when I was getting to know him, just when I was starting to like him... He's dead, Julia. There's no doubt in my mind at all. He wouldn't just walk out on the land. He couldn't.
But you can. There's nothing to hold you here now.
Yes. And it's time we were on our way. Let's make a start.
Hold on a minute. Assuming Harold doesn't send half an army after us to get his jewels back, have you thought about what we're going to do with ourselves once we get out of here?
Not really, no. I've never had to think about earning my living before. The jewels should help.
Yeah. We could buy ourselves a tavern.
The hours are too long.
How about a farm?
Too much like hard work.
Well, what do you want to do?
I don't know, lass. But preferably something that doesn't require me to use a sword. I've had enough of that.
Right. I'll go along with that. At least until my sword hand's back to normal. Shame the sword couldn't fix your eye.
Yes, well, you said it yourself. It makes me look... rakish.
That it does.
Let's go. I'm not going to feel safe until I've put several miles between us and the castle.
Rupert, we don't have to go. You could stay and make yourself king. After all you've done for the land, you'd have no trouble finding support.
I don't want to be king. I'm not suited to it. And besides, it's going to be hard enough work rebuilding the kingdom without having the land torn apart by a civil war. I didn't put my life on the line to save the land, just to see it destroyed again. No, Julia, the best thing I can do for the forest is to leave. My last duty. And then, finally, I'll be free.
And you're happy to leave Harold sitting on the throne?
Yes. For all his faults, and he's got enough of them, he'll make a good king. Certainly a better king than I'd ever be.
I couldn't agree more.
Rupert and Julia spun round to discover Harold leaning confidently against the closed stable door.
You really should have locked the door behind you. You're getting careless, Rupert.
Don't try to stop us, Harold.
Wouldn't dream of it, dear boy. As you said, the forest land will be far better off without you. The Princess Julia, however, is a different matter.
Oh, yes?
You're not going anywhere, Julia. You're staying here with me as my queen.
Like hell I am. Ours was an arranged marriage, set and signed without my consent. As far as I'm concerned, the marriage is now very much unarranged. Look, there's no need to worry about my father. Hillsdown must have taken nearly as much damage from the Darkwood as we did. He'll have far too many troubles of his own to worry about without trying to invade the forest. And if it's just an alliance you're after, I have several other sisters.
I don't want them. I want what's mine. I want you.
Harold, the marriage is off. I wouldn't marry you if the alternative was a nunnery. Got it?
Now, how can you say such things after all we've meant to each other? I mean, you have told Rupert all about us, haven't you?
She didn't have to. I'd barely been back in the castle an hour before your people had taken great pains to let me know that she'd been sharing your bed in my absence.
And you know something, Harold? I don't give a toss. She thought I was dead. And you always were, charming bastard, when you wanted to be. No, Harold, what matters is that in the end she chose me over you because she loves me as I love her.
Right. And I wouldn't take you on a bet, Harold.
We're leaving now. So get out of our way.
I'll see you hanged first.
You try it.
Very well. You punched me.
Harold doubled over from the punch to his gut, and Julia took the opportunity to step up and deliver a wicked rabbit punch.
Is he okay?
His pulse is fine, but he's going to feel that in the morning.
You know, I've waited a hell of a long time to do that.
So have I.
I hate the spur of the moment, but it strikes me as rather unlikely that Harold would come here alone. Hadn't we better check to see if he brought any guards?
Oh, good point. Julia, hood the lantern.
Rupert darted over to listen at the closed door while Julia plunged the stable into darkness.
Hear anything?
Not a sound.
I'm not being stopped now, Rupert.
No more am I.
Ready?
Ready.
Rupert forced the door open and leaped out, ready for a fight.
Oh, hello, Princey!
Outside the stable, a dozen goblins were busily looting half a dozen unconscious guards.
How's it going?
We're safe, Julia. You can put away your sword. I'm doing a lot better for seeing you, but hadn't we better get these guards into the shadows? They're a bit conspicuous out here.
The smallest goblin was tugging hard at a guard's stubborn signet ring.
First things first. The only ones who might spot us are the guards up on the battlements, and I've got a few of the lads keeping them occupied, just in case.
And just what were you doing out here this time of night?
The smallest goblin grinned triumphantly at the signet ring now adorning his thumb, and then looked a little sheepishly at Rupert.
Well, to be honest, you're not the only ones planning on a moonlight flight. It didn't take much foresight on our part to realise once the fighting was over, we goblins were going to be about as welcome here as an attack of rabies. So we decided to gather up our families, grab what goodies we could and make a run for it. It's not as if we had any reason to stay. You're the only one at court who ever had any time for us. And with your brother on the throne. Anyway, we saw you were in a bit of trouble, so we thought we'd help out. You know, just for old time's sake.
Thanks. Where are you headed?
Back into the forest. We've never had much time for cities or even towns. Too many walls make us nervous. Besides, I've come up with some great new schemes for waylaying defenceless travellers. Stick to what you're best at, I always say.
Good luck.
Rupert held out his hand. The smallest goblin reached up and shook it firmly.
Good luck yourself, Princey. You're not a bad sort. Hey, let's get these humans off to some dark corner somewhere.
The other goblins quickly dragged the unconscious guardsman away from the stable and into the shadows of the inner wall. In the space of a few moments, nothing remained to show that they had ever been there. The smallest goblin threw Rupert a snappy salute, blew Julia a kiss, and disappeared into the shadows.
Let's get out of here. This courtyard is getting to be as busy as a market day.
Right. You get the horses. I'll take care of Harold.
They hurried back into the stable. Julia led the horses out into the courtyard while Rupert bound and gagged Harold, taking great care to do a thorough job.
That seems about right. And this seems like a particularly filthy corner. All right, Breeze, let's go.
All done?
All done.
Julia moved quickly up beside him as they drew near the keep. Four guardsmen were standing before the closed gates with raised pikes.
Are they your guards, Rupert?
They are.
Are you sure we can trust them?
Of course I'm sure. They came back from the Darkwood with me. We could trust them with our lives.
That's just what we're doing.
Hello, Rob Hawk.
We were beginning to wonder if you were still coming, Rupert.
I had a little business to attend to. Any problems your end?
Not so far. You got everything you need?
Just about.
Then let's get you on your way. Before the Master-at-Arms starts making his rounds.
Good thing I ordered those gears greased.
Aye, sire.
The great oaken doors were scarred and rent, with whole strips torn away like kindling. But still, the doors stood. The guards came back, and Rupert shook them all by the hand.
Best of luck, Rupert.
Thanks. My brother's having a little lie down in the old stable at the moment. You might like to go and discover him in a while.
Oh, sure. Still, No hurry, is there?
Won't you get into trouble for letting us pass?
No, oh, I doubt it. Everything's in such a mess that no one's sure where they're supposed to be, and that goes double for the guards.
Look, you're welcome to come with us if you want. Any of you, or all of you.
Well, thanks, but no. The new king's going to need all the guards he can lay his hands on to put this land back together again. And that's bound to mean extra money and promotions for old hands like us. Besides, we've got lands of our own to look after, remember? You granted them to us, and the old king ratified it himself just before the last battle. Who knows? Our descendants might even end up as lords or barons someday.
Well, that should shake things up.
I can hardly wait.
Rupert and Julia swung up into their saddles and rode forward into the keep, the unicorn close behind. The gates closed slowly after them as they passed under the raised portcullis and out onto the lowered drawbridge. The ice had all but vanished from the moat, but Rupert couldn't see any sign of the moat monster. He urged his horse on, and soon Rupert and Julia and the unicorn were safely among the first few trees at the edge of the clearing. Rupert led the way into the forest until he was sure they were out of sight of the castle, and then reined his horse to a halt. Julia and the unicorn pulled up beside him.
Dragon, where are you?
Over here.
Whoa, 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 easy, boy, easy. He's not going to eat you. Shh, there, there.
Sorry.
Well, whatever you do, don't smile at them. Those teeth of yours would make them drop dead right here. Are you ready to go?
Of course, Rupert. By the way, do you think we could stop off at Dragonslayer Mountain so that I can retrieve my butterfly collection? I've seen some fascinating specimens here in the forest that I'd love to add to it.
Sure. Why not?
Good. You know, I think I'm going to enjoy this trip, wherever we're going. You two are the most interesting humans I've come across in centuries. Always in the middle of things. Wherever we end up, I doubt it'll be dull.
Rupert looked up at the night skies.
The sun will be coming up soon. We'd better get a move on. Out there, beyond the forest, there's a world that has never even heard of the Forest Kingdom. And that's what I want to see.
Right. I'm ready. Let's go.
They set off down the dusty trail that led into the forest, and so passed out of history and into legend. And wherever they went, and whatever they found, Rupert, Julia, the dragon, and the unicorn faced it together. Heroes all.
Blue Moon Rising is a graphic audio production. Copyright 1991, Simon R. Green, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2009, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Terrence Aselford, David Coyne, Elizabeth Jernigan, Scott McCormick, Mort Shelby, Richard Rowan, Andy Clements, Christopher Graybill, James Konacek, Peter Stray, Tim Getman, Ken Jackson, Michael John Casey, Colleen Delaney, Joe Brack, and Michael Glenn. Additional Redshirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Terrence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Book adapted for graphic audio by Dan Smith. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. The Blue Moon Rising theme was composed by Dan Smith. Additional original music by Dan Smith and Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Blue Moon Rising, be sure to look for R.A. Salvatore's Demon Wars Saga, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of another graphic audio title.
From the author of the critically acclaimed Elantris comes a beautifully crafted tale of dark intrigue, bitter rivalries, and powerful magic. In order to save his kingdom of Idris from certain annihilation, King Dedalan must honor a treaty made long ago. He must send his oldest daughter to marry Suzabron, the God King of Alondrin.
War is coming, Your Majesty. They will attack. If we send her, Yarda, we send her to her death.
Sending Vivenna is a poor plan, but it's our only plan.
Father, if we break this treaty, it will mean war. I am prepared to sacrifice for our people.
Lord God of Colors, forgive me. Vivenna, you will not go to wed the tyrant god of our enemies. I'm sending Ciri in your place.
Ciri, the youngest daughter of King Dedalan, soon finds herself plunged into a world of intrigue and politics, inhabited by undead gods and zombie armies. And she quickly learns that there is a darkness spreading through the highest order of Alondrin, threatening to consume all she loves.
Vessel, doing your duty as the vessel was the danger.
You have to tell me something.
You must not bear him a child. That is the danger. This all, everything here in the palace, is not what it appears to be.
Cursed with a lecherous form of magic which causes her to feed off the souls of the living, Princess Vivenna battles to save the life of her sister and prevent the war engine of Alondrin from crushing her homeland.
Your father and Lemix were right. The Alondrin have everything to lose by not attacking you.
I'm not going to become an Awakener, Dim. I might turn a blind eye toward that lifeless for now, but I will not awaken.
In the court of the gods, the highest authority in all of Alondrin, Lightsong the Bold, resurrected hero of ages since past, must come to grips with his newfound immortality as he struggles to unlock the dark secret of the pantheon of gods and their unstoppable armies of the undead.
What do they want of me, Larimar? Do they really think I'll do it? Lightsong the Selfish. Do they really think I'd give my life for one of them?
You offer hope, Your Grace. A last unlikely hope.
And if they're wrong, I have no desire to die. And why should it be otherwise? I mean, we have to die to heal one of them. We're gods to them only until they kill us.
And the key to halting the baying hounds of war may lie in the hands of the one man who wants to watch the world burn. Vasher, the Warbreaker.
You. Are you here to free me?
No, Vahir. I'm here to kill you.
Don't miss Brandon Sanderson's high fantasy masterpiece, Warbreaker. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets that include 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net.